Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
Hello, dear friends, and good day, and welcome to our program. It's a joy to be with you, as always, to talk about the most important thing in the world, the only thing that really matters, the will of God, and the reigning of God's will in us and on this earth. Let's pray for that now, and help us to ask the Lord to help us to learn to love and to live what we're going to discuss today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Eternal Father, all glory and praise be to you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our Blessed Mother, the Theotokos, the Mother of God, whom we celebrate in a special way today as we celebrate the founding, the beginning of the first church in the Western world dedicated to Mary, the Mother of God. Thank you, God, that you've given us Jesus through Mary, and that together they have brought this kingdom to reign once again on earth, and of course together with Saint Joseph in the Holy Family. Lord, we want to be a part of that family. We want to be a part of that kingdom. We ask you to help us and to inspire us with all the graces of the Holy Spirit that we need to not only know it, but Lord, give us the grace to desire it and to live it in every moment of our lives, so that the fullness, the wholeness, the completeness of the purpose of our being here can be fulfilled. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. And Mary, Queen of this kingdom, our mother and advocate for living in God's will, help us to know what it means to live always in the will of God. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Saint Hannibal de Francia, pray for us. Servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, pray for us. All you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we continue with the next passage from volume 20 as we keep moving along here. It's a rather lengthy volume, and one that is, I think, very important in helping us to understand our origin, the means of getting back to that original grace, and the final completion of everything, that is the fulfillment and the end of it all. So this passage is dated January 9th, 1927. Now, one who does the will of God possesses the balance, the equilibrium of God's will, and possesses an act of light for everything. And then how a note of sorrow was placed, and this is why the divine will and the human will scowl at each other, never to agree, in a sense, again. How the first fruits are the things that are always loved the most. Luisa writes, I was going around everywhere according to my usual way. Remember, she often begins either with a complaint that Jesus isn't there, or she's doing a round, whether it's a round of God's creation, thanking and praising God for all he's done, or a round of redemption or sanctification. So she's going around, she says, in my usual way to follow the divine will in creation. My sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, said to me, my daughter, how amazing is the operating of the soul in my will. Just as the fiat maintains the balance in the whole creation, by echoing my balance, she forms the balance in all creatures and lays within them the kingdom of my will. She is like light that descends from above, fixing herself in everyone, lays within everyone the kingdom of the love of my will, of the adoration, of the glory, and of everything it possesses. But while descending, like light, to let nothing escape her, just as light, like light, she ascends and brings the balance of all the acts of the creation, of all times, and of all hearts to her Creator. It's a very beautiful expression, as we hear so often, of the role in God's creation of the soul. And the soul, and of course, in a very particular way, who lives with the divine will operating in the soul. And this soul then has the capacity, as Jesus says, to do what God himself does in creation by the power of his will. He says the same will that operates in God, in the Holy Trinity, wherever God is, and that's everywhere, is the same will that operates then in us. And he says if it's the same will, it has the same effects, it has the same power. So one of the, I think, the greatest effects of this will of God operating in us, in its holy operation, its divine operation, St. Francis of Assisi says we should have always God in us and his holy operation. See, Francis had many inklings of this great way of life, the spirituality. So he says we have to have always this awareness of God with us as much as possible, but always the operating of God in us. That's what Jesus is saying here. When this soul, yours, whether it's Louisa's, yours, or mine, whoever's, has the divine will in it and knows it and is allowing it freely in grace to operate in that soul to do what God wants, he says it reestablishes this order, this harmony, this balance, equilibrium in all of creation, both in the material realm and in the spiritual realm. See, that's what Einstein discovered, a great discovery of relativity, you know, E equals MC squared, which basically says all of life is an equation. All of the universe is in perfect balance, order, and harmony. Well, it's true of the material world, but it's also true of the spiritual world, the immaterial world. So he says this is so amazing because what God has done in creating the universe, placing it in this perfect order and balance, he says now the soul who lives in the divine will can do the same. Does that mean that in our own human existence and experience, we always feel that we're living in perfect balance? Of course not. We wouldn't be human, probably, if that were the case. Hopefully, it's something that grows in our lives, and we do have more of an experience of that order and equilibrium operating in us and bringing our own souls and even our bodies into that union with God. But because we're still here, and we're still in the, you know, temporal mode and living through the fiat of redemption on our own, for ourselves as well as for the rest of the world, not on our own as apart from God, but I mean, we're still living what Jesus lived here on earth in his life, death, and resurrection. As we continue to live that way on earth, we're not always going to experience perfect equilibrium and harmony. In fact, Jesus says, you're going to experience many times just the opposite, because as we heard last week, he says, I'm going to let you experience what I experience, what I receive from souls, the vast majority of which do not live in the kingdom of God's will. So he says, with the balance of all the human acts in which the soul has let the act of the divine will enter. So again, what happens, he's saying, through the soul is expressed, we could say, manifest, released, distributed through the acts of that soul. Why? Because we're still in time and we have this succession of one act after another. We're not here on earth one eternal act as God is in his nature. See, we do one thing after another in time. Now, eventually, when we do enter heaven, we will enter perfectly into that one eternal act of God's nature and share it with him. On earth, we share it with him. It's begun to be lived here on earth, but not in its fullness. See, and therefore, we can often feel ourselves living this way, you know, intermittently or not in a very, you know, complete or full way. So he says, but with the balance of all the human acts in which this soul has let the divine will operate, on her part, she empties herself of the human acts. Now, the human acts are still going to be there. We're always human. Our acts are always human. But he's saying it empties them of their futility, of their ineffectiveness. You see, because any human act, any act of any creature, apart from God and his will, is, God tells us many times in the Book of Heaven, useless and worthless to God. It is nothing. But, he says, when the divine will flows in that act, then it becomes the prime act. And what is the prime act? It is God's act. It is God acting in the soul, as he did at the beginning of creation, as he continues to do in heaven, and now how he wants to act again on earth. He says, the divine will then lays its kingdom within them, within them, the acts themselves. You see, it's in the soul operating, but through the acts, it's also laying its foundation in the world. Because now there is a soul who has taken to heart that there be no human act in which she does not want to fix her light. And what is her light? Her light is the light of the divine will that will shine and manifest God's will through those acts, so that what is human may be knocked down and the divine will alone may reappear in everything, in all things, in all of creation. So human will, of course, will always be there. When he says you have to get it knocked down, or he'll even say you've got to keep it, you know, extinguished or annihilated. Those are strong words, but Jesus often uses strong language even in the gospel. What he's saying is you got to keep that human will. As Louise says, I like Louise's phrase better, she says, under your feet. In other words, you have to be sure that that human will of yours is not acting in any way apart from or contrary to the will of God. And he's saying, this death to the human will, it's not the death of the human will, but this dying to the human will, he says, is what allows the divine will then to reappear. Why does he say reappear? Because it's been there before. It's been here on earth in Adam and Eve before the fall. It's been here, Jesus says, in Jesus and Mary perfectly and in the Holy Family reigning on earth. This is why, he says, my daughter, I almost make you touch everything with your own hand. Of course, this was a great gift of the mystical life of Louisa, wasn't it? That she could, she had a certain, you know, gift that we don't have, a grace, because we're not the first ones to receive it as she was, the full knowledge again. But he says, I let you almost experience it with your, in your physical nature, in your body, that you can touch all these things. And he will do this, as we've heard many times in her life. It's always mystical, but at the same time, it's very real. And she experiences these things. He says, I want you to extend yourself to everyone and in everything, to make you extend the kingdom of my wills. So if the soul that's operating in God's will and its acts are happening on earth, then he says everything that that soul does, as the soul extends itself. And how do we do that? Through our acts, through our thoughts and words and deeds. Each one of them, he says, you know, goes out like light. it extends itself. So he says, when we do that, he says, then is the kingdom of my will extended. As I like to say many times, because it's encouraging to us, he says, every act we do truly in the will of God, knowing what it means, knowing that it's possible, loving it, desiring it, he says, makes it possible for another soul to know it and to live this way. That's how important just one act. You'll say this many times, if only you knew how important one single smallest act of the divine will operating in the soul on earth is, you would never want to lose one. This is what I want, that my will flow in everything, which is such that while it invests everything as light, it remains above all, and everything becomes my will. Everything becomes transformed, transfigured, as we celebrate tomorrow, the great feast of the transfiguration. For Jesus, filled with light. Of course, he always was, but as he said, by a special miracle, God allowed his humanity to hide that light. But on the mountain Tabor, that light shines forth, the cover is taken away, if you will, the hidden is removed, and Jesus shines in all the brilliance of his divinity. The divine will is, of course, what illuminates the humanity of Jesus. So he says, when his will flows in everything, and it just infuses and invests everything with that light, everything will be turned into divine will, because light shines upon it and through it to bring it apart and make it a part of this kingdom of light, the reign of God's will on earth. However, he says, it may be that someone escapes from this light, just as someone escapes from the light of the sun. But this says nothing for the sun, because by possessing the balance of the light, the sun does, of course he's speaking of the S-U-N with a capital S of God's will, it contains its active light for everyone and everything. So while giving light to all, the sun maintains the balance of the glory of all the acts of light for its creator. Therefore, it remains in the perfect order, while those who escape the light go out of the order. So he's saying that, you know, again, these souls who are living in God's will, by giving light to all, they, together with God, preserve, restore, maintain this eternal balance of God himself in the Holy Trinity. You know, we call it, in a sense, the equality of persons in God. Every person is equally divine, fully divine, with the Father. So all three share that divinity because they all possess fully the one will. So he says, when we possess that one will, and we know we possess it, and we know what to do with it, then he says, you too can have that unity, that harmony, that order within you, even though we don't always experience it because of our humanity. And I think we see this even in the life of Jesus himself, especially in his passion. So he says, while giving light to all, the Son of God's will in us maintains the balance of the glory of all the acts of light for the Creator. In other words, we also make it, we don't just make it possible for earth to receive it. We make it possible, or God makes it possible in us, for God's glory to return to him. That's what Jesus prayed for in John's gospel. Father, restore to me the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. How will that happen? Through the church that he's now formed on earth, and will continue to form after his ascension through the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, Jesus goes on, the soul, by possessing the unity of the light of the supreme fiat, always, you know, everything here is perfect. Everything here is, you know, you can't, there's no any kind of lack or omission of anything in this will of God. So he says, if the soul possesses this unity of the light of God's fiat, then he possesses all the acts of the light of it. And therefore this soul can give her act of the light of the divine will to all human acts, so that on her part she may extend its divine kingdom everywhere. You see, we're so used to thinking, I believe, in physical, material terms, which are finite and limited. Even, you know, with this great technology of Radio Maria, you know, this word and the word of God and all that's done here in Radio Maria can extend to the far reaches of the earth. But I don't think it's going to go much farther than that in the universe. So we're still, in a sense, as great an extent it reaches, it's still finite. It's still limited. Well, the divine will has no limitations. It's not finite. It's infinite and eternal. Well, he's saying, therefore, if you are acting and the divine will is acting in you with the power of that one eternal will of God to reach everywhere, then your acts also reach everywhere, beyond time, beyond place. He says, if the creature escapes, this says nothing. In other words, he's defending the part of God's part in this. He says, it doesn't limit me, what I can do, but the creature has limited it. He says, limited in a sense what it can receive of that infinite light of God. The light of my will diffuses anyway. It's still, the sun's going to shine, the sun's going to continue to be sun no matter where we are on earth, even if we're underground. He says, and I see in my chosen one that my kingdom follows its way. It extends and it is established. Now, while what he's saying is, because even though the divine will is always perfect and balanced and order everywhere, he's saying it's because of humanity on earth the extending of the kingdom has not been finished. It's got to keep going and will go on till the end of time. Church says that won't be perfect and complete until Jesus returns, because he alone, since the fall of Adam and Eve, is the perfect embodiment of the kingdom. Therefore, he says, I want to see your acts in my will over every single thought of the creatures, in every word, every heartbeat, step, and work, and in everything. For now, let us think about forming our kingdom. Once it is formed, we will think about those who escape and those who remain in the net of the light of my will. Saying, what I want you to do, he says this to Louisa many, many times when Louisa's struggling. He'll say, let's put that aside for now, or even after he shows her all these horrible catastrophes and things going on earth, terrible evils and chastisements. He'll say, but let's forget about that for now. I want to form you in this kingdom because this is the solution. This is what's going to save the world and sanctify it. And only this. It's the only way the world, as we know it, advances towards the kingdom of God and its reign on earth. Louise says, after this, I felt so very exhausted because I had had a fever for many days and I had just barely written the little that is written above. So not feeling the strength to continue writing, I stopped and I began to pray. So it's so often, Louisa, even though she only had one diagnosed illness that we know of, which was pneumonia, which took her life, she had tremendous physical suffering. It's just there was no human reason for it, no physical malady they could diagnose for it. So she says, I just had to stop here. She says, my sweet Jesus, coming out from within my interior, clasp me all to himself, and then being compassionate with me, saying to me, my daughter is sick, my daughter is sick. You must know that on the part of creatures, a note of sorrow was placed in the kingdom of my will, a note that no one for many centuries has ever thought of healing, a note too sorrowful for the supreme fiat, and the cause for which the divine will and the human will always scowl. It's a frown, but it's even a stronger word than a frown, a scowl at each other. Now he says, the firstborn daughter of my will must balance all parties before she comes home to our fatherland. She must fill all the voids in order to establish my kingdom in the midst of creatures. Again, why are they voids? Because the kingdom should be there, should be in every creature, every soul, every act of every soul. And it's not. So this leaves all this void of glory that God should be receiving from his creation. Now, being sick, he says, my daughter will form the kingdom of divine pain within it, that flowing like a wave of light and of heat will serve to sweeten this sorrowful note. You know, this sorrowful note, what is he saying? Well, the human will's still there, and it's still corrupt. You know, it's in all of us. He's saying, my divine will has conquered it and will conquer it in you if you let me do it in every act. But he's saying the human will is still sick, and it still needs this healing of God's will for it to be healthy again. He says, don't you know that light and heat have the power to convert the most bitter things into most sweet nectar? And he's saying to Louisa that her pain, and here she's sick physically, you know, she does have her own spiritual and even emotional trials and traumas like we all do, but here she's physically feeling ill. And he's saying that this pain is what sweetens the note of sorrow. It's a very interesting combination, as so often in the Book of Heaven, things that we've never quite looked at this way before. So he says, don't you know that the light and the heat, again, that light and the warmth, the penetrating heat of God's will, have to convert the sorrows into sweet nectar. You see this again in the life of St. Francis, where things, he says, that were horrible to him before, like lepers, he would avoid them because he was raised, you know, very rich and very apart from those things. But he says, then those things that made me nauseous before became so sweet to me. Don't you know, he says, it is given to you, my daughter, who lives in our volition, to let your sorrows, your fever, your intimate pains of my privation, so he's including, of course, all the spiritual pains as well, that make you die without dying, that, he says, all of these things flow within our endless boundaries in order to invest this note so sorrowful of the divine fiat and form in this note a most sweet and harmonious sound in such a way that the two wills will no longer scowl each other but will be reconciled. And certainly in that soul, but also as the kingdom extends, more and more souls who will be coming to live this way. Then he added, my daughter, you cannot comprehend what I feel for you, the joys, the happiness I feel, because I find in you the first fruits of the kingdom of my will. Now remember, since Jesus and Mary were on earth, no soul really has been able to live this way in the fullness of the knowledge that Luis has been given. So he's saying, I've been waiting for this, and now that it's been restored, you are the first fruits of this restoration of the kingdom of my divine will. He says, I find the delights of the early fruits. You know, there's something about the first harvest, first fruits that are so many times so delicious and so nourishing. I find the delights of the early fruits, the first fruits of the music that only the creature who lives in it can produce, because she takes all of our act, all of our notes that are in our will. She makes them her own and forms her beautiful music in my kingdom. And I, oh, how I delight in listening to her. I find the first fruits of order, the first fruits of true love that my will has conceded to her. I find the first fruits of beauty that enraptures me so much, I cannot detach my gaze. So I find all of your acts as first acts, first fruits, that no one before you has given to me. The first fruits are always the things that are enjoyed the most, that attract and that are enjoyed. If other similar things come after the first fruits, it's by virtue of the prime act that other similar acts could be formed. So all the glory is in the prime act. Prime, of course, meaning first, and therefore having priority. Therefore, you will always have the first fruits in the kingdom of the divine fiat. There will be nothing done in it that will not start from your prime act. So all will be turned toward you. To you, the beginning of the glory. Therefore, I want everything to begin from you in order to form my supreme kingdom. Well, we see, of course, the tremendous import, the importance of Louisa's mission as the first to once again live this way of life since Jesus and Mary were on earth. The first creature born in original sin ever to really do so with the fullness of the knowledge. We know St. Joseph lived in it, but to the extent of the knowledge that he had at the time and that God gave to him by living in the reflection of the divine will in Jesus and his mother. But he's saying that, Louisa, nobody's had this divine science, and the one through whom it will now be taught, it will be explained, it will be introduced again and made possible for souls to live in God's will. So he says, everything's going to look to you now as the beginning of this new glory, this glory restored to the Most Holy Trinity on behalf of all creation. Well, the next passage is quite a long one, so I'm going to continue now with this passage, hopefully may be able to complete it before the end of our hour. So January 13th, 1927, Jesus prays her to write. Remember, she said she was going to stop in that last passage because she felt sick. And so he's praying her to write, and how his word is happiness. Now, one who lives in the divine will is looked upon as one from the heavenly fatherland, from heaven itself. This soul prays together with all of creation, and how Jesus promises her that everything will be granted to her. Of course, because she has this power in her grasp, in her possession. Continuing with a fever, again, the fever has not left her. Jesus tried to console her with a beautiful, you know, understanding of that pain and that illness, but it goes on. He says, continue with a fever, I could manage to write with such difficulty that I decided to write no more, until I would find myself in the condition of being able to do it with less difficulty. Also, to be able to write more extensively what Blessed Jesus manifests to his little daughter. In fact, because of the difficulty, I try to condense as much as I can. How many times do we do the same? You know, well, I'm not really feeling very well right now, so I'm going to leave this for now and get back to it later when I feel better, especially if it's something very challenging, as this is for Louisa, probably the most challenging thing she had to face throughout her whole life, at least for a big part of it, for 40 years. Now, while I was not thinking at all that I would have to write, given my decision, in other words, well, that's behind me now, I can do something else, think about something else, my always lovable Jesus moved in my interior as though praying to me, said to me, my daughter, write a little bit. I am content with little rather than nothing. When you can, then you will write more. And in the little you will write, I will help you. I will not leave you alone. When I see that you cannot go on, I myself will say enough. Because I love you so very much. And also your nature, for it is also mine. Remember, he has a human nature. And I do not want you to tire yourself out beyond your strengths. What a beautiful, both compassionate word, but also, inviting Louisa to at least put something down. And isn't that the case, that something can seem so tremendously difficult to us? But the minute we set our mind to it, our hand to the task, all of a sudden, it just starts flowing. Why? Because God wants to help us. And if we invite him, of course, into it. So he's offering Louisa to help her. He said, but do not take away from me this pleasure of maintaining the ever new correspondence of writing what I want to tell you. You know that in the whole world, there's not one point for me in which I can share my happinesses and receive return for them. Just imagine, no pressure there for poor Louisa. She's the only point in the whole world that can receive this in the fullness that God wants to give it and return it in that same fullness. So the point of my happiness in the world is you. And this happiness of mine is formed by my speaking. See, this happiness is in you, Louisa, but it's formed by my speaking that you're reporting, you're writing and making known to the world. So his greatest happiness, of course, his greatest joy is to see his will once again reigning on earth and restored to humanity. He says, when I can speak with a creature and make myself understood, it's happiness for me. No, nothing. I delight so much, and my greatest happiness perhaps is when I speak to have somebody understand me. It's human for us as well. I'm sure you in your own lives experience that. He says, it is happiness for me, full and superabundant happiness for the one who listens to me as well. More so, since in speaking with you, you being in my will, I speak to you within my will itself, not outside of it. And I am sure being understood. More so, since in speaking to you about my willing, my eternal volition, I feel in you the happiness of my kingdom, the echo of the happiness of the celestial fatherland. What is the beatific vision? What is the joy of heaven but being united completely with God and his will? That's what it is. So God's joy and happiness is complete as well when he sees it on earth. Do you know, my daughter, what would happen? Since I keep you in the supreme fiat, I look upon you as one from my celestial fatherland. What would you say if someone who already lives in heaven did not want to receive my new joys that I naturally release from my womb to make all the blessed happy? He says, what would you think if there were a soul in heaven or an angel who didn't want to receive that happiness anymore from God? Well, in fact, that's what happened with the fallen angels, isn't it? In fact, it is my nature to give ever new beatitudes. The beatific vision is always increasing by this accidental glory we receive from God. This someone would be a hindrance to my own happiness. She would close inside my womb the joys I want to issue. So it would happen with you. You would be a hindrance to my happiness, to the ever new joys that my will possesses. More so, since I feel happier when I render the little daughter of my will happier, whose human happiness doesn't increase through the happiness of a loved one, who finds herself in the low exile only because of us, for nothing else, to give us the field in order to form our kingdom in the midst of creatures, to restore for us the rights and the glory of the whole work of creation. Do you think that my heart can tolerate not making my little daughter happy? No, no, it would be the greatest pain for me. Is my word perhaps not the greatest happiness for you? So Jesus is a very convincing, promoter and advocate here of having Louisa write. It'd be very hard for her after all that to say, sorry, I'm still not going to do it. Of course, he softens her heart and she's willing. So she says, certainly, O Jesus, if you knew how you render me unhappy when you deprive me of it, how I feel the void of a happiness without end, that nothing else, as beautiful and good as it might be, will be able to make up for it. See, any time God's will is not in us and not acting us, it leaves a void of sorrow, of unhappiness. And Jesus, therefore, my daughter, while my word makes you happy, I do not want my happiness to remain in the void of yourself alone, but I want it to serve to establish my kingdom. Therefore, as confirmation of my word and my happiness that comes from me, I want it to be written on paper. Also as confirmation of our correspondence. It's a beautiful play on the word. It's the same word used in Italian and English, correspondence. Of course, we correspond with what God wants of us, and he corresponds, of course, with us. So he says it's also a confirmation of our co-responding, being together, operating in this unison, this harmony. Then after this, I began to pray, bringing all creation together with me before the Supreme Majesty, that is the heavens, the stars, the sun, everything, so that my prayer might be animated by all the acts that the Supreme Fiat exercises in the whole creation. Another round. He says, my sweet Jesus placed himself near me, leaning his head against mine, extending his arm around my neck, almost to sustain me. And I said to him, my love, my Jesus, I'm not the only one praying to you, but together with me there's your will operating in creation, praying that your kingdom come. It itself wants its rights. That is, God's own will wants its proper rights, all whole and complete, over everyone and everything. Only with the coming of the kingdom and supreme fiat upon the earth will all of its rights be given back to it. Oh, listen, Jesus, how touching is the voice of your fiat in the whole azure blue of the heavens, how eloquent it is in the sun, how attractive and strong it is in the sea. Everywhere can your fiat be heard, resounding, wanting the rights of its kingdom. Oh, please listen to your own fiat. It's a beautiful prayer of Louisa. Listen to your own fiat resounding in creation. Listen to your little daughter, who, making all of its acts her own, prays you, supplicates you that your kingdom come. Even though I'm just newly born, as he told her earlier, I too want my rights. And do you know, O Jesus, what they are? That I give back to your will all the glory and the honor as if no one had offended it. She's claiming that as her rights, as Jesus has taught her well to do so. Why? Because he says you inherited that right from your parents, Adam and Eve. They had it before you. Even though they lost it, you still have a right to it. So he says, she says, I also have my rights, and I want my rights to be fulfilled. that I give back to your will the glory and honor as if no one had offended, as if all had fulfilled it, adored it, and loved it. If I am its daughter, I want that its rights be given back to it. And I want also that my first father, Adam, be given back the honor as if he had never withdrawn from your will. And as we know, in fact, that is what's happening, what Luis is doing. And Adam will be given an opportunity to appear to Luisa and say exactly that to her, to thank her for, in a sense, restoring back to him the honor that he had lost himself and that he had not given to God. And my most sweet Jesus, all moved, said to me, "To my little daughter, who takes to heart so much the rights of my divine fiat, and who makes use of its very power in order to breach her way over my heart," in other words, to somehow break into my heart, "everything will be granted. How not to content you? How could I not content you, my daughter? To you everything will be given. Even more, we will adjust together what regards my will and what regards the creature. Now, aren't you happy? Look, my daughter, from the moment my will went out into the field of creation, it has always been firm and unshakable in doing good. In spite of the many volubilities, that is, the many, you know, peregrinations and changes and fluctuations of creatures and all their offenses," he says, "it still has maintained its firm and unshakable foundation and its desire to return. Triumphing over everything, it has followed its course, always doing good. You see, in order to make the creature ascend again into that firmness, into that continuous, perennial good, capacity to always do perfect good with God, into the unshakability of my will, I want to establish my kingdom in their midst. See then, in what point I placed you, in the firmness and unshakability of the fiat, so as to allow you to lay this kingdom of mine within it." See, it needs to be laid again on earth, not in heaven, of course, not in purgatory, but on earth. "Just as my will triumphs over everything with its firmness, so will you triumph over everything with its firmness and in the unshakability of its acts." See, they can't be in any way thrown off. They can't be in any way upset. "And you will reorder the divine order between the two wills. The divine will be reintegrated in its glory, and the human will place itself again in the order established by God." Again, this is Luisa's role. This is her mission, and it is ours, dear friends, as awesome as it may sound. After I wrote this, Luisa says, "I was thinking myself that what is written above was not necessary. More so, since continuing to be feverish, I write with difficulty, and I write just a little to make Jesus content." This is amazing to me that, you know, after that incredible, beautiful explanation Jesus gives her, she still says, you know, maybe this really isn't necessary. She says it often. Maybe, you know, I've said this, and Jesus has said it, and I've written it 1,000 times before in different ways. Why do I need to write it again? You see, maybe it's not necessary, especially because I'm not feeling well. I'm writing with difficulty, and I'm just writing a little bit to make Jesus happy. So once again, you see, in Luisa's human frailty and even misery at times, and littleness and poverty, she doesn't always see the value of what she's doing. And neither do we. It's not ours to see. She did see it, of course, on her deathbed, the last breath of her life. She saw all the sons of the divine will that were formed in her acts as her road, her highway to heaven. She goes on, "My sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, said to me, 'My daughter, In order to live in my will, the soul must arise, must ascend. In order to ascend in it, God's will, she must leave what does not belong to my will. She must leave her miserable rags, her vulgar habits, her vile foods, and her miseries. Everything she must leave to make use of royal garments, divine habits, of precious and nourishing foods, of infinite riches, in sum, of everything that belongs to my will. What you have written serves you for now. It serves the kingdom of the supreme fiat. Then it will be the rule for those who must live in it, how they must make use of all the operating acts of my will in order to maintain themselves within the boundaries of my kingdom. They must make use of all the operating acts of my will. That is ours, all of our acts that were given in this short life on earth, but all of the acts, the operating acts of Jesus, of the divine will operating in Jesus, in Mary, creation, redemption, sanctification. Doesn't want us, as she says many times, to leave anything out. Therefore, what to you does not seem to be necessary is necessary for the formation of my supreme kingdom. So he has to assert this over and over and emphasize again and again how important it is that all of these truths be known, that Louisa doesn't omit anything. Again, a tremendous burden and responsibility that's placed on her, that in her littleness, of course, she fulfills so beautifully. And of course, to us and to our eyes as we read it and hear it so powerfully, a help to us to live in the kingdom of God's will. Thank God she did not stop writing and that she continued to write even when it was difficult and painful. And another sign to us, and hopefully an inspiration to keep on going, keep studying, keep learning, keep immersing and fusing those acts in every moment of the day, every thought, every word, every deed, with the will of God, inviting it, immersing ourselves in it. How, whatever images we want to use, they're all helpful. You know, come up with your own. But he's saying, let's not stop, even though it can be very difficult. We can be feeling bad, like Louisa, physically or mentally, spiritually. We perhaps become more frail with age, but he says, to the best of your capacity. And he says, then I will adapt to that capacity, and I will make perfect what you cannot do perfect. And I will bring it all to fulfillment and completion in the kingdom of my will, both now on earth as far as possible, as perfectly as possible, but forever perfectly and absolutely in heaven. Well, that completes that passage, and I thank you for allowing me to continue there without a little break, but hopefully we're beginning to allow these truths to sink in more and more. They become a part of us. They're not just intellectual knowledge. They're actually the food, as Jesus was saying, my food is to do the will of the Father. They become our food. May that food continue to increase and nourish us every day. Well, dear friends, just a short message, and that is for the next several weeks, I will be traveling in foreign countries, not able to do the program for the most part. When I can, I will, but I never know till I'm wherever I'm going to be. So until then, there will be recordings of past programs, and I hope those serve you as well, but they can also be found in the archives of Radio Maria and in our website, radiomaria.us archives, but also in divinewilllife.org. You can find them all. Thanks for being with us today, and thanks for co-responding. Thanks for saying fiat, for saying yes to God's will operating in your life. May it continue until it's perfect in heaven. God bless you and keep you always in the heaven of his will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.